I was very pleased to hear Trish say that she'd like to be 50 again, because I'm 70 and that is the new 50. So I'm 50 again. Well, we're going to continue our concentration on the Father Heart of God. This afternoon, I'm going to talk to you about the nurturing heart of God. When God created the universe, he spoke it into being. When he created the sun and the moon and the stars, he spoke the word and they were created. When God created the trees and the grass and everything else in the world, he spoke and they were created. But when he created mankind, he did something very different. He didn't speak us into existence. He came and he rolled up his sleeves and he stuck his hands into the mud and he formed man with his own hands. And from that amazing act, mankind was birthed. And can you imagine what an amazing, intimate action that was as God came to Adam and breathed life into him, face to face, up close, very close. And as he breathed that life into Adam, Adam saw for the first time the face of his Creator. What a sight that must have been for him. And out of Adam, God created Eve, and he called them mankind. An amazing act of a loving Father as he created mankind. Why did he do it that way? Why did he do that? It's because he wanted to have an intimate, loving relationship with us. We're not just things as he created all the other things. We are his family, his children, his loved ones. And we are so special to him. We read in Genesis 1, Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. We were created in the image of God. It's very hard for us to comprehend that, isn't it? We are created in the image of God. But from this passage, we can see very clearly that God wanted to create an image of himself, which was male and female. In other words, it takes a man and a woman to accurately portray the image of God. God is not only masculine, he's not confined to the image of a male. Is this very loud? Maybe I'm too close. So God's image is displayed in both male and female. Male and female were created in God's image. What an image. And so he put all of his likeness into Adam, and then he made Adam into two beings, a male and a female. But they were still one, and they were in his image. So masculinity and femininity are characteristics of God. Sometimes we don't understand that, but that is who God is. Just as a father was meant to be an example of God's fatherly love, Mothers are meant to be an example of God's nurturing love. And God wants to transform mothers into his image. The nurturing, sheltering, merciful, fruitful image, so as to restore their rightful purpose in the family. So the true feminine and the true masculine are both characteristics of God. So what is God really like? He's a nurturer. He wants us to feel safe, loved, secure, and valued. He wants us to come from a place of being wounded into a place of feeling safe, to having our hearts open so that we can receive the love that he wants to give us. And we would know that we're unconditionally loved. There are no conditions on the love that God shows to us. John's talked today about how we view God sometimes. Sometimes we've seen him as being quick to anger, harsh, angry, a judge. We better behave because God is watching. But you know, when Moses met God on the mountain, when God gave him the Ten Commandments, he described himself and he says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That sounds like a good God, doesn't it? He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's full of love and faithfulness. And so that's why Jesus came. Jesus came to show us the Father. He came to reveal what God is like. And I'm not telling you anything today you don't really know, because you know that Jesus came to reveal the Father. Jesus said to Philip, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." So if the Father is exactly like Jesus, how is Jesus described? Hebrews 1:3 says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being." So in seeing Jesus, we see God. They are exactly the same. They are one. Well, we know about the compassion of Jesus. There are many scriptures that talk about how compassionate Jesus was. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Many of the scriptures about Jesus' compassion is when he healed, and it often says he was moved with compassion and he healed the people. The compassion of Jesus is the same as the compassion of God. So is that what the Father's like? That's what Paul says. He says in 2 Corinthians 1:3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." That's a lot of comfort, isn't it? Comfort that comes from God. I had a dream one time, and in this dream, John and I were sitting on top of a jumbo jet. It's not usually the place you ride on a plane, but we were on the top. We were sitting on top of this plane, and the plane was on the tarmac, and there were people standing all around us looking at what we were doing. And I was saying, "I don't know if we should do this. This is really a bit scary. I don't like this." And everybody that was watching said, "Oh, it's fine. You're going to be all right. There's nothing to worry about. Everything will be good." So we stayed there and we sat on the top of this plane, and the plane took off. And as the plane went up, we were kind of hanging on. And it went up and up, and we were hanging onto this plane. And then as the plane got up, it levelled out flat. And as the plane levelled out flat, we weren't on a plane anymore. We were laying on the heart of the Father, and the wings were his outstretched arms. And he was saying to us, everything's fine. I've got you. You've got nothing to be afraid of. You're going to be all right. And he was comforting us and telling us how much he loved us. And we really felt secure. And it wasn't such a silly idea because we were experiencing his comfort. We need to position ourselves on his heart. We need to be on his heart and feel his comfort and feel his love and feel his heartbeat. And it's in that place where we feel safe, secure and loved. One of the best pictures we have in the Bible of God's tender, nurturing heart is that great verse in Matthew that says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those who sent you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Isn't that a loving act to want to gather people like a hen gathers her chicks? And Jesus was talking to people who had tried to stone the prophets. They weren't even the good guys. They were the bad guys. And Jesus still wanted to draw them into his arms and love on them and care for them. And that's what God is like. No matter how much we fail him, no matter how much we do wrong, no matter how much we let him down, he still says, I want to love you. I want to draw you into my breast. I want to wrap my arms around you. You know, it's like the prodigal son. He came home and he was welcomed. His dad didn't say, look at all these awful things you've done. Look how bad you've been. No, he was a loving father. And he gathered his son into his arms and drew him in and loved him no matter what he had done. That is God's love for us. What an amazing love. There are a lot of names for God in the Bible. One of the names is El Shaddai, means the Almighty. We read that in Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty, Shaddai. Shaddai comes from the word Shad, meaning breast, the breasted one. The breast is the place where life-giving milk is given to a newborn baby, but also where love and nurture is shown to the child. El Shaddai is God, the breasted one, the one who nourishes, the one who satisfies, the one who supplies all our needs. It's a wonderful place to go. Another scripture that talks about God's mothering love. He says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Now, why did he say, as a mother comforts her child? Why didn't he say, as a father comforts their child? The reason is, mother's comfort is very different to father's comfort. And you know, when a child falls over and hurts themselves and they come running in, you know, it's dad's role to put strength into their children and encourage them to be strong. And so he'll say, come on, there, you know. You'll be fine. Off you go. Don't cry. That's a dad's comfort. Mum's comfort is, oh, come on, let me hug you, let me give you a cuddle. Oh, let me see, what have you done wrong? Let me kiss you, mama, kiss it better. It's so different, isn't it? Mother's comfort and father's comfort is so different. And you know, when children are sick, and if you've had sick children in the middle of the night, you know they always say, I want mummy. And you think, what's wrong with daddy? I want my sleep. Mother's comfort is so different. He is the Father who loves us like a mother. It's God's nurturing heart. It's his tender love towards us, wants to draw us in and love us. And so, you know, mothers are really a good demonstration of God's love. And those of you who are mothers will really understand that. We want to be able to comfort our children the way we know God does. I've lost track of time now. Sometime last year, our daughter Julie had ovarian cancer and she went through some awful surgery and chemotherapy. And as a mother, I just wanted to be with her all the time. I wanted to comfort her. I wanted to be there for her. I took her to have chemo every week. I sat with her. And I just wanted to take it all from her because I'm her mother. That's the way God feels about you. Whatever you're going through. Some years ago, our son married. I think he was married for 3 months and his wife left him. And we had to face a divorce. And I just wanted to take the pain from him. As a mother, I didn't want to see him suffer. As a mother, I wanted to take the pain. That's what God's doing for you. His mothering heart wants to take your pain because he feels it. He feels for you. He knows what you feel like. Isaiah 49:15 says, "Can a mother forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hand." He's very close to you, isn't he? You're on the palm of his hand. And he's got you. And he's caring for you. Mother's love is always there. Mother's love never goes away. Even when our kids grow up, we're still there. They're still our kids. They're still our babies. But, you know, when they're young, we're always ready. You know, in the night, you hear a sound and you're ready to jump out of bed because there's a cry. Excuse me while I just have a little drink. I can remember nights when I have sick children and you get to that stage where you don't care about yourself anymore. You just want to sit with your child and make sure that they're well looked after and fine, and you forget about sleep for yourself. That's not a priority right then. Have you had those experiences of when your children leave their lunches home and you drive up to school to take it for them because you know that they need it, or you go out and pick them up when it's raining from school so they don't have to walk home in the rain? Mothers do many things. There was a quote that I read that I thought summed it up quite well that says, "Mother love is the fuel that enables a normal human being to do the impossible." It's mother love that gives you the strength to do those things. And that is the way God loves us. Mothers are there from the very beginning of life, carrying the child in her womb, giving birth, and then giving her child all the physical and emotional needs. But one of the most important things when a child is born is that there's a connection, that they make a connection. In a mother's arms, a baby is safe, secure, welcomed, nurtured. That's where the connection first begins. And if that connection isn't there, there can be pain and abandonment, separation. We're not created for separation. We're created for love and connection. And then God created us to bond with our mothers, because it's the bond and the love that makes us grow. So when we don't have that bonding with our mothers, we may end up bonding with the wrong things. Or we might shut down our emotions. So we need to teach our children how to love. We need to be taught how to love. We learn to love by being loved. And we all need love, don't we? And then with that bonding comes a basic trust. You know, in Psalm 22:9 it says, "You brought me safely from my mother's womb and led me to trust you at my mother's breast." That's the place where we learn to trust. And it's the inner sense of being secure, knowing that we're okay, knowing that we're really loved. Basic trust is learned in the first few years of our lives. So it's very important. And that's when our character is formed. And then there's nurture. When a child is played with and loved, they come to life. And that's the way we grow. The attention that we get from our from our parents and what they give to us, it just gives us that really amazing start to life. And the same way the Father does that to us. He speaks to us with tender words. He brings us to life. And he wants to bring us to a place of wholeness and restoration. So what happens if there's a lack of mother's love? Women sometimes harden their hearts in response to hurtful things that have happened to them in their lives and left them without enough love. This leaves them unable to give enough love to their children. If mothers didn't receive the love they needed as they were growing up, they may have difficulty giving love or showing love. Hurts they have received will cause them to harden their hearts. You know, when we go back to Adam and Eve, it was the enemy that came and deceived Eve. The woman was targeted right from the beginning, right from creation. There was a war against women. And it's gone on in our society now. There still is a war against the feminine. Women have to work harder, stand up for themselves, be stronger, be more vocal, to overcome the war that there is against them. Our society teaches that it's a virtue to be strong and self-sufficient. The feminine isn't valued. And so that sometimes prevents women from being nurturers and giving the love to their children that they need. John said something earlier about a fatherless generation. We hear a lot about a fatherless generation, but in reality, if we have a fatherless generation, then we may have a motherless generation, because the mothers are taking place of the fathers and not necessarily fulfilling their roles as a mother. Well, that affects the way our children grow up. In the Greek, there are four words for love. There's phileo love, which is brotherly love, agape love, God's unconditional love, eros, which is sexual love, and there's storge, which is a Greek word for parental, family love. Now this word storge in Greek means stork. Now you know that storks deliver babies. They drop them in a nappy down the chimney, and that's how you get babies. Not really, but it's a good story, isn't it? But the thing about storks is that they are the most tender, loving, gentle of all birds, and they care for each other and they look after each other, and they are a great example of storge love. The love that God gives us, the family love, the parental love. We were created for love and intimacy. Love from our families, love from our mums and dads, love from our grandparents, aunts, uncles, other significant people in our lives. They all contribute to our storge love that we so greatly need and it builds the foundation of our life. The woman is given a womb as a place of producing life, protection, and nourishment. Every birth on earth is a manifestation of a gift from God. Every birth. That is really good, isn't it? So our first experience of storge love is in our mother's womb. You know, there's so much excitement when a baby is expected. So much talk about what's going to happen and planning. And in the womb, the baby experiences all that excitement. The emotions of the unborn baby affect the emotions of the mother, is what I meant to say. The emotions of the mother affect the unborn baby. You remember how when Elizabeth had John the Baptist in her womb and Mary came to visit and John leapt in her womb at the presence of Mary because she was carrying Jesus. Even in the womb, John the Baptist knew the presence of the Messiah. He knew what was going on. Unborn babies hear, smell, taste, and feel when they're in the womb. Maybe our mothers weren't ready for a baby. Maybe they weren't married. Maybe they didn't want a baby. Maybe they didn't quite know what to do. Maybe they didn't have enough money. There are many emotions that a woman has that the unborn child feels in the womb and knows, and it affects them and the way they grow up and the things that happen to them. Before I was born, when I was born, I had very red hair. It's a bit faded now, but I had very red hair. But before I was born, my mother said, "I never want a child with red hair because they are problems." And the reason she said that was because my auntie had red hair and she was a very difficult woman. And so Mum was quite vocal about the fact, "I don't want a child with red hair." So I was born during the Second World War in London and there was an air raid on that night and there was a lot of commotion going on. And so when I was born, my grandma took me and put me in the cot and Mum didn't see me till the next morning. And she looked and she said to my grandma, "Has she got red hair?" And my grandma said, "Yes, but I didn't want to tell you because I knew you'd be upset." It sounds really quite comical, but you know, what does a child feel? What emotions does a child pick up in the womb and after birth, knowing that there's something here that they all don't really like? And so that really affected the way I felt about myself for all my growing up years, because I was the only one in my family with red hair. I had three sisters and they all had dark hair, and I used to think, why am I different to them? It's hard to understand. But you know, in a ministry session that I had a few years ago, I saw Jesus. And he came into that room where I was in the cot and he stood and he stroked my hair and he said, "I love you. You are my little delight. And I know that I am the way God planned me." He knew. Nobody else knew, but he knew that I was going to have red hair. And so it's amazing how those things can affect what a child sees, hears, feels. In a particular African tribe, when a woman becomes pregnant, she's given space to go out from the village until she hears a song for her child, for her unborn child. And this song becomes a song of destiny. So when she has the song, she comes back to the village and she teaches it to all the people in the village. And she sings it over her unborn child. That means that the child in her womb already knows that there's a great destiny for them and that they are loved and wanted. And then when the child is being born, all the people in the village sit outside and sing this song as the child is being born. And then later on in life, if they step out of line, they are reminded and sung the song, "This is your destiny. This is your song of destiny. You have a great destiny." It's an amazing thing that a child can know their destiny even before they're born. So we were created for love, comfort, and nurture. And if we didn't receive that from our parents, we may look for it in inappropriate ways. We call that false comfort. If a child didn't receive the nurture they needed when they were young, they may turn to false comforts as an adult. Why do born-again, spirit-filled Christians end up looking for false comforts? One of the key reasons is a lack of storge love, a love deficit, something they lost or missed from their parents when they were being born. A lack of storge love can foster the development of unhealthy drives, urges, compulsions, and bondages, resulting in all kinds of wrong sexual relationships and pornography. So there's a need for nurture. We all need nurture. Without a foundation of storge love, we'll be driven to fill this need artificially. Some focus their unmet needs on a person close to them, their best friend, their spouse, boyfriends, girlfriends. This is a source of emotional dependence. No one person can fill that void. Only God can. So some may run to escapism to find what they need: romance, novels, movies, studies, sports, TV, video games, church work. Anything that will help us escape or can earn us the affection and tension we long to have. So God's intention was for the church to be a nurturer, a gathering group of people who would show love to each other. We are to be his arms and embrace the world. Jesus said, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." We're also told to greet each other with a holy kiss. Do you know what that is? Do you know how to do a holy kiss? Shall we demonstrate? Come on. Yes. This is just to make sure that you're all still awake. There you go, that's a holy kiss. Now it's your turn, and I think it would be nice just for this moment to greet somebody with a holy kiss. Up you get. Thank you for that. That got you all a little motivated, didn't it? When we love each other in this way in our churches, it provides a loving environment. This is what people want to come into, a loving environment, a place of healing, a place of healing of wounds and broken hearts. And it helps people who did not receive any nurture to find a place of love and acceptance. The world needs a mother, and we, the church, are to be that mother. God promises that his grace is sufficient for everything we need. He's the one who holds us in the palm of his hand, carries us close to his heart. The good news is, if you've missed out on nurture in your life, God is a restorer. God has restored many people. We have some really good examples in Scripture. One of them is Moses. Can you imagine what sort of start in life Moses had? For 3 months, I think he was probably hidden under the bed. I'm not sure that that would have been a very nurturing beginning to his life. And then he was put in a basket and given away. And yet what God did with Moses, rescued a nation, raised him up to be a great leader. God can restore many things. What about Jacob? He was a deceiver. His mother even encouraged him to be a deceiver. And yet God used him in an amazing way to be a great nation. What an amazing God we have. God has always been making a way in your life to restore you, to restore you to the destiny that he sung over you before you were born, the destiny that he put in your life. He can restore that and fulfill all that he has for you. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have written you on the palm of my hand. Wow. Well, you may have experienced some of those things I've talked about. You may feel that there's been a lack in your life. You may not. You may have had a wonderful, nurturing beginning. Or you may have missed out on some of those things that we desperately need to put us on the road to being the people that God has made us to be. So today we're going to pray through some prayers together, and you will find that they are quite releasing prayers because God is on your case. God is here for you. God knows your heart. He knows what you've been through. He knows your past, and he knows your future better still. So if you'd like to stand with me, and we're going to just repeat some prayers to ask God to help us work through some of these things. Lord, I recognize that there has been a lack in my life. I can see that I have a love deficit. Now we're actually going to speak to our mums and just say how we feel about this. Mum, I wish you would have held me and cuddled me. I wish you'd had more time just for me. I needed your love and tenderness, your affection. I needed to know you'd be a safe place for me. There were times when I just needed your comfort. There were times that I needed to see in your eyes that you loved me, even when I failed in your eyes. Mum, today I choose to forgive you for all of those times because you did not know what you were doing. You too were hurt and wounded.
I forgive you for the lack of nurture. I forgive you for not pouring into me all the storge love I needed. I forgive you for not knowing how to express love to me in the way that I needed. I forgive you for not knowing how to take me in your arms and provide that place of safety and comfort. I forgive you for your inability to open your heart to me in a way that would cause me to believe and trust in your voice. I forgive you for your inability to provide me with the affectionate touch, the loving eye contact, tender loving words, and the nurturing in your bosom that I so needed. I release you from any resentment or bitterness. And I speak the blessing of God over you. I honour you as my mother, the woman who gave me life and brought me into this world. Thank you for all you did give me, Mum. I choose to forgive you. I bring you to the feet of Jesus and release you. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for turning to false comforts, for deciding I'll take care of myself. Forgive me for hardening my heart. Forgive me for the things I've put in that place. Today I renounce false comfort. Lord, I renounce anything contrary to love, rejection and abandonment, self-rejection and self-hatred. Lord, I repent of the ways that I've judged my parents and hardened my heart. God, forgive me for rebelling against life, for not embracing life, for not wanting to be born, for having a death wish. Forgive me for not liking myself. Lord, forgive me for striving to earn love. I choose life. I choose to be born. I renounce the lie that I have no value. I renounce the lie that I am not lovable. I renounce the lie that I have no one to love me. I renounce all thoughts and urges of death. Father God, I come to you longing to experience your comforting, mothering heart. You are the only one who can meet the deepest need for storge love in my life. I bring my earthly mother to the foot of the cross and release her from any wounds and pains she caused in my life. I come to you now. Lay my head on your breast and rest peacefully, knowing that you love and care for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now I just want to pray over you. In the name of Jesus, I pronounce forgiveness over you. Lord, would you come and bring your cleansing by the power of the Holy Spirit? In the name of Jesus, I break off rejection and abandonment, fear, despair, counterfeit affections, unhealthy soul ties, striving, fear. Lord, will you come and replace all the lies of abandonment with your truth, the truth that you receive us? I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and put your arms around us all and restore the basic trust that was broken. Restore the affection and security that was lost. Father, I ask that there will be an impartation right now of your comfort. Come to the little boy and little girl in each person. For those who have never known what it is to have a safe place, whose hearts have been cut off, whose hearts have closed down, who have never had anyone to look into their eyes with love, no one to say, you are valuable, you are valued, you are the light of my life. Father, come to them now. Let them see your approval, your smile, your love. For those who have never been truly comforted, come with your comfort now. Father, only you can love us deep enough. Give us all the love we need. Pour it into our hearts. Teach us how to nurse, how to drink deeply from your comforting love. Help us to open our hearts right now, Father, because this is a safe place. Father, just let your nurturing love come into those very deep places. Speak tenderly to your sons and your daughters. Father, hear the cries of the babies that have felt abandoned, unloved, and unlovable. Come to that precious little baby, lift them up, and hold them close to your breast because they never knew what it was to be comforted. Thank you that you are coming in all your tenderness and all your love and mercy. There are some of you that cried in the night and no one came. There's a little child in there who's still crying. Is anyone going to come? Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to their spirit the word they need to hear. Come with your comfort. We break off the spirit of abandonment. We break off that lie. Father, will you come and speak truth to our hearts? We don't want to believe the lies anymore. It was God's idea that you be conceived in love. God planted you in your mother's womb. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Father, I ask for purity to be restored, for childlike innocence to be restored, for the restoration of all that was lost. Maybe you'd like to repeat this after me. Father God, you chose me. You planted me in my mother's womb. I really am not an accident, but I was formed by you, O God. You conceived me in your love. I really am loved. I really am lovable. I really am beautiful. I receive my life as a gift from you, O God. Just rest in his presence. Lean deep into his heart. Breathe in his love. He's pouring it out over you today. If you'd like to take a seat and just continue to breathe in his love, just receive. And if God has been ministering to you today, don't be in a hurry to move from that place. This afternoon we're going to offer you a mother's hug, and Trish is going to come and help me. So if you would like a mother's hug, we'll be here. Or if you would like to just sit and meditate for a few minutes,